This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Welcome to the New York Times Book Review. I'm Philip Moore for Radio Reading Services. We're going to begin with the Editor's Choice column from April 25th, 2024, with 9 new books recommended. Gregory Callis from the Book Review section of the New York Times begins the column each week. This week he writes, "Parenting and its attendant anxieties underlie a number of our recommended books this week. From Jonathan Haidt's Manifesto Against Technology in the Hands of Children to Emily Roboto's essays about mothering in an age of apocalypse, to Claire Beam's novel about a haunted hospital for expectant mothers. Also up, a double biography of the Enlightenment-era scientist and bitter rivals who undertook to catalog all of life on Earth. A book arguing that the ancient Greek style of debate holds valuable lessons for the present, and a surprising history of America before the Civil War that shows how German philosophers helped shape abolitionist thinking. In fiction, we recommend an Irish novel about a bungled kidnapping, a political novel based on Barack Obama's first presidential campaign, and a 3-part novel of ideas about the hidden cost of our choices. That one also deals with parenting anxieties in its way. Happy reading. Now for the list of 9 titles, topped by Every Living Thing, The Great and Deadly Race to Know All Life, written by Jason Roberts. Most of us have heard of the 18th century taxonomist Carl Linnaeus and his systems of categorization. Less familiar is his rival, the French mathematician and naturalist Georges-Louis Leclerc, Comte de Buffon. In Roberts' view, this is an injustice with continued repercussions for Western views of race. His vivid double biography is a passionate corrective. From Deborah Bloom's review, Roberts stands openly on the side of Buffon, rather than his, quote, profoundly prejudiced rival. He's frustrated that human society and its scientific enterprise ignored the better ideas and the better man. The book is published by Random House and will cost $35. The next title, The Anxious Generation, How the Great Rewiring of Childhood is Causing an Epidemic of Mental Illness, written by Jonathan Haidt. In The Coddling of the American Mind, Haidt, spelled H-A-I-D-T, took a hard stand against helicopter parenting. In this pugnacious follow-up, he turns to what he sees as technology's dangers for young people. Haidt, a digital absolutist, cedes no ground on the issue of social media. Sure to provoke both thought and discussion, his book rejects complacency. Tracy Dennis Tiwari's review says, erudite, engaging, combative, crusading. Parents, he argues, should become more like gardeners, to use Alison Gopnik's formulation, who cultivate conditions for children to independently grow and flourish. Published by Penguin Press, $30. The next title, An Emancipation of the Mind, Radical Philosophy, The War Over Slavery, and the Refounding of America by Matthew Stewart. The lead-up to the Civil War, Stewart shows how German philosophers like Ludwig Feuerbach and Karl Marx influenced the American abolition movement. S.C. Gwynne's review says, engaging and often surprising, 2 decades before the outbreak of war, abolitionism was still a skulking pariah, a despised minority in the North as well as the South. The abolitionists clearly needed help. Enter the Germans. Published by Norton, $32.50. The next title is Choice, written by Neil Mukherjee. Narratives, linked to a frustrated London book editor, explore the gap between wealth and poverty, myopia and activism, fact and fiction, in an exquisitely droll heartbreaker of a novel. Jonathan Lee's review says, full of characters deciding how much truth to tell. To be in the company of his cool, calm, all-noticing prose is to experience something like the helpless wonder his characters experience. Published by Norton, $28.99. The next title, The Ancient Art of Thinking for Yourself, The Power of Rhetoric in Polarized Times, written by Robin Reines. To bridge our nation's political divide, we must learn to argue, not less, but better, contends Reines, a professor of rhetoric, in this wryly informative primer on ancient Greek and Roman oratorical techniques and the sophists and sages who mastered them. The review from John McWhorter says, Reames' conceit for the book is intriguing. In our era of Fox News and chants from the river to the sea, it is difficult not to gaze in admiration upon people so committed to soberly debating ideas rather than settling for sloganeering. The book comes from Basic Books. It'll cost $30. The next title, Lessons for Survival, Mothering Against the Apocalypse, by Emily Roboto. The perils, political, racial, climatic, multiply fast in this collection of elegant and anguished essays by Roboto, a writer and mother struggling to retain hope for the future while bearing witness to the encroaching threats all around her. T.O. Miles' review says, a soulful exploration of the fraught experience of caretaking through crisis. Her central concern is how to parent responsibly in perilous times. When the earth is warming, the country is divided, and even the grown-ups feel lost and afraid. Published by Holt, $29.99. The Garden, written by Claire Beans. Maternal body horror finds its eerie apotheosis in Beans' pleasantly atmospheric novel, in which an isolated home for expectant mothers circa 1948, turns out to contain more life-giving powers than its medical staff lets on. If you're thinking Pet Sematary meets Rosemary's Baby with a literary sheen, carry on. Claire Oshetsky's review says, "The genius of the novel is the way Beams continually intertwines fictional elements with true-to-life obstetric practices. Humor blooms at the least expected junctures. But make no mistake, this is a serious story." Published by Doubleday, $28. The next title on the list, Wild Houses, written by Colin Barrett. In Barrett's debut novel, a poorly planned kidnapping upends the lives of several young characters in a rural Irish town. Barrett, the author of two standout story collections, shifts gracefully between the kidnappee, who's being held in a basement by two unstable brothers, and his intrepid girlfriend, who sets out to find him. Dennis Lehane's review says, "A heartbreaker of a debut. The lives of a small collective of mournful souls become vibrant before us, and the yearning is depicted with wistfulness, no small amount of humor, and one dangerously ill-tempered goat." By the way, there is a goat on the cover of the book. The book is published by Grove. It'll cost $27. The next title, Great Expectations, written by Vincent Cunningham. In this impressive first novel, a black campaign aide coolly observes as aspiring power players angle to connect with a candidate who more than resembles Barack Obama. Damon Young says in the review, "Dazzlingly written, captures the grind and the mundanity of the campaign with precision and humor." Published by Hogarth, $28. That is the last title in this list. Now let's turn our attention to some books coming out in this month of May. 17 titles are in this list. New novels from R.O. Kwan, Kevin Kwan, and Miranda July, a reappraisal of Carolyn Bessette Kennedy, memoirs from Brittany Griner and Kathleen Hanna, and more. The first book on this list, Chop, Fry, Watch, Learn, by Michelle T. King. Once called the Julia Child of Chinese cooking, Fu Pei Mei taught generations of Taiwanese people to cook through her long-running TV show and many cookbooks. King presents not just a biography of an indomitable woman, but a portrait of how cultures eat. I saw an interview about the next book on TV recently. It is Coming Home by Brittany Griner and Michelle Burford. In February 2022, Griner, arriving in Russia to play basketball in the off-season, was detained by Russian authorities, who claimed she had hash oil in her luggage. The WNBA star spent 10 months in a women's penal colony before she was freed in a prisoner swap. This is the story of her ordeal. Published by Knopf, May 7th. The next title, Free and Equal, written by Daniel Chandler. If liberal democracy is to survive as a form of government, it needs to a complete rethink. So argues Chandler, a British economist and philosopher. In this rousing homage to the political philosopher John Rawls, whose realistic utopia, the book contends, provides a blueprint for a society premised on both individual freedom and true equality. Published by Knopf, May 7th. The next title, Shang Highlanders, by Julie Min. Min's debut novel is a complicated family story, told in reverse. The novel opens in 2040, with a family simmering with secrets and tensions. And then the story works its way backward to 2014, revealing how each person got to where they are. Published by Spiegel and Grau, May 7th. Whale Fall by Elizabeth O'Connor. It's 1938. An 18-year-old Manod, M-A-N-O-D, has never known a life outside the harsh, sparsely populated confines of her remote and rocky home off the coast of Wales, until a pair of self-styled English ethnographers arrived to both document and disrupt the island's residence. Published by Pantheon, May 7th. All Fours by Miranda July. How to Survive the Strains of Middle-Age Marriage? The unnamed heroine of July's comic novel plans a cross-country road trip, only to stop 30 minutes from home. There, she lavishly redecorates a motel room and begins an odd, passionate, but platonic affair with a younger man who works at a rental car agency. Published by Riverhead, May 14th. Another Word for Love by Carvel Wallace. Wallace, an award-winning journalist, turns a thoughtful lens on his own grapplings with sexuality, intermittent homelessness, and life as the son of a Black single mother, fighting to stay afloat. But bleakness is not the operative mode of this debut memoir. The book turns as often toward joy and self-discovery as it does to hardship. Published by MCD, May 14th. The next title on the list, Challenger, written by Adam Higginbotham. The Challenger space shuttle disaster in which millions of people watched in real time as the shuttle exploded, killing all on board, was a pivotal moment for American culture and certainly its space program. Higginbotham, the author of Midnight in Chernobyl, tells the 1986 story in granular detail, using vivid reporting and new archival research to describe a true life thriller with all too real consequences. Published by Avid Reader Press, May 14th. Scrolling on down, we find Blue Ruin by Hari Kunzru. A heady novelist with the instincts of a thriller writer, Kunzru, spelled K-U-N-Z-R-U, brings his singular mix of dread and intrigue to his latest fiction, an intricate tale of artistic creation, greed, and exploitation, set in upstate New York under the specter of COVID. Published by Knopf, May 14th. The next title, Fat Leonard, by Craig Whitlock. This is the story of a Malaysian high school dropout who bribed and extorted U.S. Navy personnel with gifts, favors, and sex to make a steady profit as a military contractor servicing American ships in East Asia ports for inflated prices. As Whitlock, an investigative journalist for the Washington Post, makes clear, the bigger problem is that so many in the Navy decided to look the other way. Published by Simon & Schuster, May 14th. The next title, Rebel Girl, by Kathleen Hanna. As the fiery frontwoman of the seminal alt-punk band Bikini Kill and later La Tigre, Hanna was foundational to the 90s Riot Girl movement. She also famously inspired the title of Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit. Her wide-ranging memoir offers a snapshot of that era, as well as the challenging childhood that shaped her. Published by Echo, May 14th. Skies of Thunder by Caroline Alexander. When the Japanese military took control of a crucial road near the border of Burma in 1942, the Allies were left with no choice but to transport supplies to China by air over a dangerous stretch of the Himalayas. As the conflict drags on, Alexander matches immersive descriptions of perilous flights through blizzards and monsoons with the uneasy negotiations between President Franklin D. Roosevelt and the Chinese nationalist leader Chiang Kai-shek. Published by Viking, May 14th. The next title, Exhibit, written by R.O. Kwon, last name spelled K-W-O-N. A photographer begins a clandestine relationship with an injured ballet dancer in Kwon's second novel, which she recently described as, quote, shot through with physical longing, queer lust, and kink, end quote. published by Riverhead, May 21st. The next title, Lies and Weddings, written by Kevin Kwan, last name spelled K-W-A-N. The author of Crazy Rich Asians returns with another beach-ready confection, starring pampered people in designer clothing, behaving badly, this time at a decadent Hawaiian wedding, where secrets erupt with the force and heat of lava. Published by Doubleday, May 21st. The next title, Once Upon a Time, by Elizabeth Beller. What do we know about Carolyn Bessette Kennedy, aside from the fact that she was married to John F. Kennedy Jr.? 25 years after their death in a plane crash, Beller asks this question, then fills in the blanks with a thorough examination of a life cut short. Published by Gallery, May 21st. Wait, by Gabriella Burnham. In this coming-of-age novel, a pair of sisters reunite at their home on Nantucket, Massachusetts, after their mother is deported to Brazil. Published by One World, May 21st. And one more title, and that is the end of the list, and our time together, The Editor, by Sarah B. Franklin. A noted food journalist pays tribute to a mentor and role model, the former NOF editor Judith Jones, who over a six-decade career published Julia Child, James Beard, John Updike, and Sylvia Plath, and was instrumental in seeing Anne Frank's The Diary of a Young Girl translated into English. The book is published by Atria and will be on shelves May 28th. I'm Philip Moore for Radio Reading Services. Thanks for joining me this week. We'll get together again for the New York Times Book Review next week.